Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us to this hour, to this place, for this opportunity to gather around your word, to grow in faith, to realize what an incredible God you are and the blessings you give us through your Son. Open our hearts to the Spirit's calling. In Jesus' name, amen. My dear friends, fellow redeemed saints of the living God, as I said in greeting, I truly love the New Year's Eve. It's an opportunity for us to look back and also to look ahead. We realize that everything that's happened from this point backward is already written in indelible ink and recorded in the pages of history. We can't change the things that have happened, but we can look to the future. But one thing we know, whether it's the past or the future, there is change. Change happens in our lives. Some things remain the same, some things change. I try to think of things that would show that clearly, and I guess the simplest thing is to think of myself. I'm a year older than I was a year ago at this time, and I would guess that if you had to be honest with yourself, each of you are the same. 1 year older. What about 2020? What kind of changes will there be? We know the change is going to come. What we want to do this evening is look at what God has to say about change, to learn an important lesson from God. We've already spoken the words responsively from the book of Hebrews, when the sacred writer writes, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. So what we want to look at this evening is that some things are always the same. Unfortunately, sin and its consequences are the same and will be the same in the year to come. But fortunately, Jesus Christ is the same as he was and ever will be. How many headlines does a person have to read, newscast, see, or hear to be convinced that one thing that is not going to change is sin and its consequences among us? The world will always contain people who, as the Bible says, their carnal, their fleshly minds are at war or at enmity with God. People who, because of their love for self and selfish pleasures, deliberately fail to hit the bullseye of God's holy law with their every thought, word, and deed, the very thing that God demands. The world will always contain people whose natural minds, Paul says, do not understand the things of the Spirit of God. People whose hearts, the Bible said, are evil from their youth. And as a result, such people willfully disrespect God, willfully disrespect his holy word. They render complete disobedience to his holy will rather than the obedience that God demands. And thus they sin. And because this is always the same, the results of sin will always also be the same. And it all begins in our hearts. I think it's in the Gospel of Matthew. It says, out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, and the like. By nature, that's what we are like. Listen to the daily news, and that's what you're going to find. What do you hear, and what do you see? Doesn't the interest in horoscopes, in astrology, the attitude that is so prevalent in our society, in our nation, in our own hearts, me first, isn't that a clear indication of a result to fail, to fear, to love, and to trust in God above all things? Because we're depending on ourselves. Does not the marked increase in cursing and swearing and the foul language that's creeping into our televisions as well as into our lives, doesn't that lead also to help us realize that we have sinned against that second commandment of God, that we are not to take God's name in vain? Why is it in our society today, in recent years, church attendance continues to decline? People's confidence in the church and what the church proclaims continues to lose its effect in the lives of people. Is it not because people fail to heed that third commandment of God's law, that we are to worship Him, we are to love God's word, and listen to what He has to say to us? Is there any wonder why there is such disrespect for authority in our world today, for teachers in the classroom, for policemen on their beat, for people in positions of power and authority? Isn't that almost natural when we think how children today are not taught in the homes to show proper respect to their elders and to those in authority? Why is there so many accounts of cold-blooded murder, people walking into synagogues or into schools and opening fire? Why is there open adultery? Our TVs are filled with it. And divorces all over the place, shoplifting, greed, stealing, gossip. Isn't it because, again, we can go right down the list of the commandments as I am doing. The fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth commandments of God are not being listened to, are not being followed. And then an increase in the desire for more and more wealth and power on the part of corporate America or government officials or even individuals. Isn't that a clear indication of a failure to understand what coveting is? A sinful desire for that which is not ours. And an inability to be content with the blessings that God gives. So when we look around, sin is the same. It's been there since the fall, and it will continue into 2020 as well. And not only sin, but its consequences too. The wages of sin is death. My wife and I received a text just this right around noon about a dear friend, my former congregation, 72 years old. He died this morning. Death is a part of life. It's a consequence of sin. And as tragic as that is, think how more tragic it is if it's somebody that died that didn't know Jesus. Then the consequences of death are so much greater, because that means eternal death, eternal separation from God. That's not going to change. People are going to die. It's a reality of life because we live in a sin-fallen world. And people are going to continue to lose eternal life if we don't get out the message and share the message with them. That's going to be the same. So sometimes we think, well, who's he talking to? Does that apply to me as a child of God, as a Christian? Yeah, the world is that way, the unbelieving world. But maybe we better do a little self-evaluation of our own lives before we only begin to point. Remember, when you point a finger at somebody, what are you doing? You all know it. You're pointing three fingers back at yourself. And if you do a self-examination and ask yourself questions, then you realize that you too, me as well, that we too fall under that same condemnation of sin in our lives. I would guess that most of you haven't gone to the horoscope to find out what the future is going to be for you. But have you, in every situation of the past year, truly feared, loved, trusted in God? Or did you find yourself trying to find other ways to get out of situations instead of trusting in God? And maybe if you haven't shouted out those curse words all the time that are so prevalent in our world, have you called upon Him in every trouble? Have you praised Him, prayed to Him, given thanks to God on a regular, faithful basis that God calls us to do? Have you been faithful in the hearing of that word? I mean, again, we can go right down those commandments. Have we found ourselves talking about our neighbor more than we should? Gossiping about that or hearing something about somebody, and instead of finding out the truth, we'll go and call our neighbor first or our best friend or our cousin or our spouse and tell them about it. All fallen under that same consequence of sin and its judgment upon us. We haven't been satisfied. We could go on and on. Sin is always the same for each and every one of us. Our sins, too, cause us to fall under the guilt that should be ours because God demands us to be perfect, to be holy and righteous, just like His Son. So sin and its consequences have been with us and will continue to be with us into the new year. But thankfully, my friends, thankfully, the Savior, Jesus, and His promises are also the same. Again, listen to what the author said. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. 1 week ago, we gathered as a people of God to celebrate the birth of our Savior, God's Christmas gift to the world, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And I think around the world, people celebrated Christmas. But I wonder how many celebrated that Christmas gift that God gave. Because if you missed out on that, you really missed out on Christmas. How thankful we ought to be as a people of God that we can come into this place and we can hear about that child. We can kneel at the manger and we can see Jesus. Look into the eyes of that child born in Bethlehem and see that He truly is Christ, the Lord, the newborn King, our Savior, and our God. That's who we came to worship, and how thankful we should be for that opportunity. Did you ever stop to think about God's Christmas gift to us? Although summed up in one word, Jesus, God's Son, our Savior. That's more than one word, but Jesus, okay. That gift of God is filled with many other promises that come to us through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Maybe we could think about some of these promises as maybe blank checks that God hands out and gives to us and says, fill it out when you need it, because it's here for you whenever you need it. What are some of these promises that God gives? I think I could ask you to raise hands. I'm sure most of you could give more than I have listed here. Certainly the obvious one is what? He came to forgive us our sins. What a wonderful blessing and gift that is. Paul says, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. All of those things that we talked about already and their consequences, the judgment of them, taken away because of that child born in Bethlehem who went to the cross for us. Incredible gifts. The forgiveness of our sin. And God promises that come 2020, when you get on your knees here at church or at your home and you say, God, please forgive me, what do you know? You're forgiven, right? You're forgiven. That's God's gift to us. A wonderful gift. Another gift. Because we have our sins forgiven, we are no longer at war with God. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this peace that assures us that I'm in a good relationship with God because of His Son Jesus. He looks at me and He sees Jesus in me, and He forgives me and He loves me because of Jesus. That I have. That's a gift that you can take with you. Sign that check. It's yours. That peace God wants you to have. Third blessing. Through faith worked by God's Holy Spirit, what are you now? You and I are now sons and daughters of the King, children of the Heavenly Father. We who by nature were children of wrath are now all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. The fact that God sent His Holy Spirit into your heart through your baptism or through the proclamation of the Word, think of what a blessing is yours. You are children of God. And all that entails for you. He's adopted you. He's chosen you as His special child, as His heir of all of these blessings. That promise is yours. You will continue to be His sons and daughters into the new year and beyond. The greatest blessing, not greatest, they're all great. The final blessing that I'm going to emphasize here is the crown of life. The promise that is ours, because our sins are forgiven, because the Holy Spirit has worked faith in our hearts, because we are children of the Heavenly Father. Be faithful to the point of death, and you will receive the crown of life. So my friends, all of these blessings, all of these promises, forgiveness, peace, adoption, spiritual, and eternal life, all centered in God's Christmas gift, Jesus. All yours now. They were yours, they're yours now, and they will be yours in the new year and beyond. So my friends, with Jesus on our side, with Jesus with us in this new year, we can confidently face whatever trials, whatever tests the world places before us, all of the changing scenes of life that are going to come upon us. We can face them with confidence. We heard those words also of Paul in Romans. I like the old King James, I am convinced. I am convinced that neither life nor death, nor angels, nor demons, nor the present, nor the future, nor any other power, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's the confident faith that God has worked in your heart, and that's the confident faith that God wants you to walk into 2020 with. Knowing that God is with you. With our Savior at our side in 2020, we can with all certainty declare boldly in these uncertain times that we live these words: God, who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also along with him graciously give us all things? God's not going to leave us to ourselves. God loves us. He's going to be there for us in the new year. In sickness and in health, what do we know? All things work together for good to those who love God. And finally, when each of us has to stand before the gates to look death face to face, that may come for some of us in 2020. We don't know. But what confidence can you have? Think of those words of Paul again in 1 Corinthians 15. What does he say? Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But what? Thanks be to God. Let's all say it together. Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's yours now, and that's yours in 2020. Man, you can't beat it. That's what we have. Those are the gifts that God has given to you. So my dear friends, may your new year of 2020 be deeply rooted and grounded in him who is unchangeable. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And may our New Year's prayer be the words of the hymn writer, when the hymn writer so beautifully said, "Change and decay in all around I see, O thou who changes not, abide with me." Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto eternal life. Amen.